Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. And Alan, go to it.
Okay, will do. Governor, welcome back. Glad you're here.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Okay, listen, we have 27 minutes or so, 23 minutes, and we have to move fast. So if you could avoid any...
I know. You say that to me every show.
Any,
I consider me chastised
any
for
filibustering,
long speaking.
That would be great. Okay. You saw that the president had a primetime address, and then he walked out on negotiations and maybe 2 or 3 minutes on all of that?
It's all posturing, doctor. He wants a wall. He wants to be able to say it was a wall. His base wants a wall. He thinks that's what he said in the campaign. By the way, that's not what he said in the campaign. He said Mexico was going to pay for the wall. So he already reneged on that promise. And we need border security. The Democrats have voted for it before, but border security, sensors, maybe walls in some places, gates. Of course you need border security because you can't have an entrance unless you have a non-entrance. But he is just insisting on playing politics.
Okay. The idea that he would get up in a huff and walk out on Chuck and Nancy, what do you think of that?
Yeah, he's unprofessional. Unprofessional.
You wouldn't
Who
do it,
cares?
Would you?
Who cares what your personal feelings are? You know, if I had the luxury of only dealing with people who I like,
you wouldn't be
personally,
here.
I'd be in a phone booth.
You wouldn't be here. Okay.
Right.
Okay. You made a Me Too joke. It's all over the press today, in which you said, "I'll have to report you to Me Too if you keep crowding me." Was that a mistake, or have we gone too far?
No, I think it was an offhand comment. You know, I'd walked out into the hallway and I was assaulted by the gaggle with pieces of equipment hitting me and all sorts of my anatomy, and it was a offhand comment just to get them to move back. You know, the physical assault was overwhelming, but it was just an offhand comment.
Yeah, you said all parts of my anatomy. Any further on that, or that's where we're going to stop it?
No, they just, you know, they, you know how it works when they come in a crush.
Yeah.
And literally get in your physical space, and they have cameras and microphones and tape recorders, and it's they just physically confront you.
Yeah.
Which is just the nature of the beast. But it was just an offhand comment to say, move back and give me a little physical space.
Mm-hmm. When's the budget address going to be?
Tuesday.
And where's it going to be? In the assembly?
No, it's going to be a combination. This is a little different this year, Alan, because I really did two versions of the state of the state, you could say already. I laid out a full agenda at what I call the FDR speech, the New Deal, and laid out a legislative agenda. Then in the inaugural, the full speech at the inaugural, I abbreviated it at the actual inaugural because it was going long. But the full speech that's out has the whole agenda again. So I'm going to do on Tuesday the legislative agenda and the budget together in the convention center probably on Tuesday afternoon. What I have said, the legislative agenda that the new leader, who we're excited about, Andrea Stewart-Cousins, went through hers yesterday. We basically have the same legislative agenda. I have said that we'd like to get it done in the first 100 days. Anything that's not done, I'll put in the budget, because the budget is a moment in time where you must decide and you must move forward. I'm pleased to see they're already moving elements of the agenda. Anything that's not done, we'll try to get wrapped up in the budget. I think we have an historic 100 days here, and a great opportunity. We just have to get it done. I said yesterday, you know, we've had a Democratic Senate, Assembly, and Governor before 2009. Old-timers like you and I remember 2009. And nothing happened and then the Democrats lost the majority. So we have the agenda. We just have to make sure we don't trip over our own feet and we actually get it done. And we get it done in a way that the Senate functions well and politically has a mandate to maintain the majority in 2 years. We had the majority. We lost it. We don't want to do that again. And that's why I'm so excited about Andrea Stewart-Cousins, not just because she's making history as the first woman, first African-American. She is a highly sophisticated leader. And the Senate majority is a sophisticated political calculus. You have people from Suffolk County. You have people from the Bronx. You have people from Buffalo. And you need an agenda that serves all those needs. And it's not that easy because this is a diverse state. And there's one political rationalization in New York City, and there's a quite different one in Suffolk and Nassau and Buffalo. And I think she has the skill set and the leadership ability to navigate those treacherous straits.
Let me ask you that on the list of I read one newspaper account and I saw Mike Gianaris all over ethics, wants to make sure that there's going to be an ethics package that will really please New Yorkers. But on the reportage on Andrea Stewart-Cousins, I didn't see that on her list of the most doable and important things right now. Now, maybe I was misreading, but in your wish list, is ethics reform right up there?
Yeah, what you're going to see in the Senate, that's an example of what we were talking about. New York City legislators represent their district in New York City, and they have one set of concerns. Suffolk has a different set of concerns. Buffalo has a different set of concerns. And we've made the mistake in the past, frankly, where the Senate leadership was too New York City-centric and lost the majority. I just spent a lot of time on Long Island helping elect those senators and Peter Harkin, Westchester. The Republicans in those areas, their attack on the Democrats is they're too New York City-centric.
No. But what about ethics? Ethics is a statewide issue, whether people...
Oh, my ethics agenda is going to be very aggressive. I believe on both houses, I've had really heartbreaking situations that I've gone through with ethics, as you know about. Yep. We've had Sheldon Silver. We've had Dean Skelos. We've had the chief financial officer of the controller. We've had Eric Schneiderman. There's no reason why the people of this state look at Albany askance. So I'll have a very aggressive ethics program. I want to do real contract procurement. I want to do FOIL for the executive and the legislative. You know, the legislature has no freedom of information law, which is just unbelievable. And the Republican Senate stopped it. And some great senators like Liz Krueger proposed it, and Valesky and Squadron and Assemblyman Danny O'Donnell. Let's pass FOIL. Let's pass public finance.
Okay, FOIL for everybody is freedom of information law. Okay, it's just there may be some who don't get that. Sorry.
Yeah. Let's pass public finance. Let's pass all those things we talked about that we wanted to do. And now we can actually do it.
So you're going to give the controller, according to your plan, back the responsibility for pre-audit?
Look, I have never. I want to go further than that. As I mentioned to you last time in too many words, the attorney general and the controller sign off on contracts. They have very little information when they sign off on contracts. I want to do a questionnaire to the grantee that comes with the contract. Did you have a lobbyist? Did you have a lawyer? Do you have any relationship with the granting entity? Do you have any family members who work with the granting entity? Ask the questions that give the controller, the IG, real leads to follow up on. But my only issue was get it done in 30 days.
Okay.
Because we also have to function.
Okay, but my question is, the pre-order responsibility, which might have stopped some of the hanky-panky in the government, was taken away from Tom DiNapoli as the controller. Is that going to get put back along with your questionnaire?
First of all, I don't want to embarrass you.
Please.
Name one pre-audit that found any fraud.
I cannot.
Tick, 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 tick. Okay, never mind, you can't. The pre-audit, the Attorney General's approval, didn't find fraud because they don't have enough information. This will give them more information.
It would, but where is it, who's going to be administering that? Will the controller be administering it?
The controller will do it, and the IG will do it. Caveat, it has to be done in 30 days.
Okay, yes or no? Come on, Governor.
I also have to get things done.
Yes, I hear you. But yes or no, you're going to give him what you stripped him of.
No, I didn't strip him of it.
You and the legislature.
Terminology.
No, it's not. You and the legislature.
It took too long. I'm a fan of the controllers. Bureaucracies take time. Get it done in 30 days. You'll have a questionnaire. You'll have more information. Great.
Fair enough. Fair enough, give them the staff, but let's see what the news is right here. You are saying that 30 days, we want it done in 30 days, but we're going to give them back that pre-audit function, which the legislature, signed by the governor, took away. Yes or no, sir, respectfully?
Better than pre-audit. A questionnaire with more information where you can do a substantive review. And the IG will have the same information.
Now, you mentioned favorably, and I couldn't agree with you more, Senator Liz Krueger and some good government groups are pushing a new replacement for JCOPE, which some people call JJOKE, the Joint Commission on Public Ethics and the Legislative Ethics Commission. How do you feel about that?
I would support it if it makes sense, but that was a complicated equation. Let's do the things that we know we can do right up front. You know you can do freedom of information law. You passed it already. The Senate supported it. You know you can do public finance. You know you can do campaign finance reform. You know you can do real contract procurement. Let's do those things. JCOPE is going to be, I'm in favor of JCOPE reform, but it took us months to work it out.
But you had the Republicans then. You don't have that now.
Yeah, but it was even tricky with the legislature because it was the first time ever the legislature was not in sole control of their own ethics. And that's why they objected to JCOPE. They didn't want shared ethics control. And that's why it was a difficult precedent. And believe me, it'll be the same difficult argument. I'm in favor of it, but I really want to get things done quickly. We have a federal government that is shut down. 100 days was the benchmark, right? FDR, the famous 100 days. They use it as a benchmark to judge administrations. Let's run the table in 100 days on everything we can do. And the more complicated issues, I'm open to also.
So I wrote a column for next week. You may not like it. You may like it. Last week, you made a lot of news. You endorsed Joe Biden for president, if I was listening correctly. And I began to think about that. I said, you know, Joe Biden's a little older now. Wouldn't Andrew Cuomo like to be the vice president? Then when Joe Biden serves a term, he steps aside. And Andrew Cuomo becomes the president, you know, or runs the next time. Isn't that a brilliant analysis?
Well, every analysis you have is brilliant because you write it, so you believe it's a brilliant analysis.
Yeah,
and I'm not going to argue with you because it's your show. But sometimes things can be simpler than they appear, Doctor. And you should know this better than anyone. I have seen this movie. It was called Mario Cuomo in the Presidency. Why did I say so emphatically, the exact expression, but I'm not running for president, God help me. Because I don't want to go through the ambiguity. I want the people of this state to know I have one focus, one interest, and it is being governor of the state. I'm not a typical politician to take the next step on the ladder. I don't want legislators to be able to say when we have a controversial issue, well, that's only because Cuomo's running for president. I don't want to waste time on dialogue with reporters. Well, are you running or are you not running? I believe Joe Biden should run. I believe Joe Biden will run. I believe he is the best candidate for the Democratic Party. I know him well. He's been a friend to this state. That's what I believe will happen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But what happens, Governor, in all due respect, if Joe Biden calls you on the phone and says to you, listen, Andrew, I need you on my ticket, and I want you to be vice president. I want you to run with me as the vice president. Now, you've given us a very definitive, I'm not running for president, I'm not going to do it. Lightning from the heavens if I break my word. But what about this idea of the vice presidency, which makes all kinds of sense to me?
Yeah, but it wouldn't make sense to Joe Biden, because he's going to be looking for a part of the country where he needs an appeal. And a state that he may not win, right? They're going to be looking at an electoral college. New York does not pop up on that. And I don't want to go through the movie we went through last time. What if, what if, what if, what if? What if I drop dead tomorrow, Alan? This is what I'm doing. I have no other plan. I believe Joe Biden will run. He hasn't said he's going to run. I believe it. I believe he should. I believe this Democratic Party, it's not enough to be anti-Trump. I believe we're going to need someone who has credibility and authenticity and experience. And they learned the lesson with Mr. Trump. The lesson is you have to know what you're doing to do these jobs. You can't just pluck someone from a celebrity and put them in the position. You can't take a person who never ran a candy store and then say, run the government of the United States, or run a county or run a city. Experience, know-how, knowledge matters, and that's Joe Biden.
Yeah, but what I'm concerned about here is not so much Biden, who I think you're right about is an outstanding candidate and all. I'm concerned about you, and I worry about you. I mean, what are you going to do when this term is up? Will you go and be, will you run for a fourth term, something that was denied to your father to do that? Will you go to a white shoe or glove law firm, you know, and earn a lot of money? What will you do? You ever think about that? Ever talk to your partner about that?
What will I do 4 years from now? I'm focusing on 4 days from
now. Okay, fair enough.
But I will look. There are a lot of options. I love doing what I'm doing. I just won this election with more votes than any governor in history in the primary and in the general. Think about that. More votes than any governor in history in the state of New York. There's two theories of why that happened. Number one, my mother's theory, which is it's my ravishing good looks and devastating wit and charm.
Well, that could be.
Theory two is we've actually done a good job, and the people of the state know it. It's not perfect, but they know that this state is doing well, and Buffalo's doing well, and LaGuardia is being rebuilt, and there's progress all over the state, and the North Country knows we care. And I believe that's what it was.
Well,
I believe you have a government that's performing.
And there's a third theory, and that is that Donald Trump is such an anathema to people in New York State that they say, we've got to support our Andrew. Not a possibility?
Well, they could have voted for someone else in the primary.
Well,
you supported somebody else in the primary.
I did? Okay.
Yeah, so they could have followed your lead. They didn't, to the tune of like 66%.
No,
but
you're right,
I just mentioned that to give you a little zits.
I heard it. I heard it. Okay. And you're not all wrong. Okay. So then I want to talk to you about John Flanagan, the GOP leader who was missing the start of the session to deal out front about this with alcohol dependence. And now we have a new Senator Griffo who is leading the conference right now. Well, first of all, what do you think about Flanagan's guts coming forward and saying what's going on?
Good for him. He told the truth. The first step on solving a problem is confronting the problem. I know him. He's a good fellow. I wish him well. I am worried about what we see in the paper today with the Republicans in the Senate fighting with the Democrats in the Senate on the Ethics Committee. And if you accuse us, we'll accuse you. That's mutually assured destruction. You know, any senator can write a letter to the Board of Elections saying Senator X raised money from a donor and then passed this piece of legislation. Any senator can write a letter to the Inspector General saying this senator took this donation and then gave this grant.
But it could be true, right?
Yeah, but then you start a subpoena war and investigations. And everybody gets a lawyer, and now you're in a state of dysfunction and ugliness. So I hope they calm that down, because it is mutually assured destruction. The Republican senators can kill the Democratic senators, and the Democratic senators can kill the Republican senators, and you can trigger an investigation on anyone at any given moment. So I hope they calm that down. And Senator Flanagan, I wish him the best. That's a terrible disease. It's all too common. And again, I think that he stepped up and admitted it. That is to his credit.
Okay. The Wall Street Journal is telling us that lawmakers could give the troubled MTA billions of dollars during the session. What are you hearing? What do you think?
We need a constant funding source for the MTA. I think the only political viable one is called congestion pricing, where you have tolling in Manhattan Central Business District, and then you have to reorganize the MTA. It's a 1960s holdover.
So you want more power over the MTA?
Somebody has to run it, Alan.
Well, you've got all those appointments on there. There are many people who think that you really have that power already.
Nope, yeah. You know, because we're now in government by tweets, and the old days where people actually knew some facts and policy. I have 6 votes on the MTA board of 17. New York City is 4, the counties have 7. 6 of 17 is not a majority. Then, you know, the New York City mayor has a unilateral veto over the subway budget. Did you know Carl Heasty has a unilateral veto over the budget? Did you know Andrea Stewart Cousins has a unilateral veto over the budget? Did you know that the hiring is all done by the New York City civil service system? Nobody knows that. Nobody knows what a mess the MTA is. It was designed that way in the 60s because nobody wanted responsibility for the fare increases.
No, I got you. I wanted your response. You gave it, as always, honestly and straightforward. You do want to be given more responsibility. There's a yes or a no here, right?
No, I want someone to be responsible. I have plenty of things to do. But I don't want, Alan, what you just said, which was a falsity.
What's that?
That I am in charge of the MTA. I am not.
Okay.
There is no concept of more control because you have a couple of more board members when the board doesn't control a damn thing.
Okay.
Who have heard of a board who passes a budget, but then the mayor, the speaker, and the Senate leader can unilaterally veto it?
Gotcha.
Nobody runs that mess.
Gotcha. Now I want to ask you one last question here because we're truly running out of time. And that is, and I, by the way, I do appreciate your doing this. But what about your meeting with the New York congressional delegation? We have, you know, some new firebrand people, Cortez and others. What was your impression?
We talked about you a lot.
Did they? Oh, that's wonderful. But what in fact...
Everybody said good things. Well, first of all, I know
everybody.
Almost all of them for many years, even the new ones. You have Joe Morelli there, who's just a superstar and a half. So we had a good conversation, and I talked to them about New York needs. We have to repeal SALT, S-A-L-T. It's up to a 30% tax increase targeted on this state. It will be devastating. I also talked to them about what the shutdown means. We lose $150 million a month at the MTA. We could lose about 50% of the funding for food stamps. We had Rick Cotton, the head of the Port Authority. If the TSA slows down, you could see the airports back up. So this is serious stuff now. And I wanted to make sure they knew how it affected New York.
Governor Andrew Cuomo, I have to say, first of all, thank you, as I always do, respectfully. And I have to appreciate, as you do, this is the eighth week you've shown up. That's a lot. And I never expected it would last that long. But we thank you for doing it, because it's always fascinating.
Dialogue is good and facts are better.
There you go. Thank you, Governor Cuomo. We'll hope that we'll see you again.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Doctor.